Well, I don't know any other way to say it other than it's been a terrible week to be a Catholic. It just has. Everyone here this morning knows exactly what I mean. We've all felt it. We've watched the news. We've seen the headlines. We've read the report. Some of us have spent sleepless nights staring at the ceiling fan, asking again and again, why? How? We've whispered prayers. We've shed tears. Our hearts are heavy with grief. But there is more than just that. There's anger, or shall we say, righteous indignation. There's bitterness. There's a sense of betrayal. There's a feeling of helplessness. Yes, indeed. It was a terrible week this week to be a Catholic. Reading about this, praying about it, I found myself thinking not of where we are, but where we were, where we have been. I found myself thinking of others who have gone before us as we pray, marked with the sign of faith. Some we know, most we don't. Most are anonymous people who have gone before, unknown men and women whose names are known only to God. For a minute I thought about the first Christians who quietly prayed and sang hymns and held on to each other's hands as they stepped into the sand of the Colosseum and faced certain death, immediate, violent death. Yet their witness moved so many unbelievers. Their courage and tenderness and compassion prompted one Roman soldier to say words that have echoed down through history. See how these Christians love one another. And then my mind went reeling through history. I was thinking about France. In the 1700s, persecution was widespread. During the Reign of Terror, as many as 30,000 priests left the country. Thousands more were forced to stop celebrating the sacraments. Many were executed. Hundreds of churches were shut down completely. People prayed in secret, with some brave priests offering mass in windowless, darkened rooms so no one could detect the burning candles on a makeshift altar. But out of this nightmare grew some of the greatest saints of our history, Jean Jugan and Vincent de Paul and Bernadette of Lourdes, along with tens of thousands of sisters and priests and brothers and lay missionaries who carried the faith around the world with new zeal, new passion, and new hope. Thought about the English, quote, Reformation, and the destruction of Catholic churches and the forbidding of Catholic priests to say Mass, to preach, to care for Catholics who wanted to remain Catholic. I think of all those who met their martyrdom for the Catholic faith. And then this week, we had a saint during the course of the week who lost his life in the concentration camps of World War II. That made me think of Dachau. In a corner of that notorious concentration camp, the Nazis set up a place entitled Der Priesterblock. That's where you put all the priests, where the clergy were kept. As the world crumbled and furnaces burned, these priests asked themselves, what can we do when this is over? How can we make it a better world? When the war finally ended, emaciated, but not broken, they left the camp and entered a Europe of ruins. Brick by brick, stone by stone, they set about putting it all back together. A new generation of lay people and priests rose up to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to post-World War II Europe and minister to the poor and to help reshape the world. Many don't know this, but out of that whole movement grew the modern-day diaconate, born out of a desire to serve, especially to serve the weak, the broken, the hungry, the poor. Remember the words of that Roman soldier. See how these Christians love one another. That let my mind run to Syria. Not too many years ago, a most remarkable First Communion picture was posted. Dozens of boys and girls in white dresses and suits stood in the middle of a church for their First Communion. But the church was barely a church at all. Mostly it was ruins. Windows shattered, walls crumbling, pockmarked by bullets. Ceiling all but gone, scaffolding had been erected everywhere as workers were trying to repair the damage brought about by that long and continual brutal civil war. But in the middle of this, their bishop told the children, I wanted you to have your First Communion here in this broken, damaged church to let you know there is hope. His message, you will help to rebuild it. You are hope. We will rebuild the church together. Well, this is my message to you this morning. It has indeed been a terrible week to be a Catholic. But it's not the only terrible week that we have known. And unfortunately, it won't be the last. Right now, we walk through the wreckage of a broken world with the smell of sulfur in the air and taste of tears on our lips. Our eyes are red with weeping. Our hearts are heavy with sorrow and with, well, we won't say rage. We'll just say righteous indignation. But we know this isn't how the story ends. We pick up the bricks and the stones, and we blend the mortar, and we rebuild. Because what we have and what we will be is so much greater than any of this in the newspapers. We are going through, at this moment, a horrible time. And yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so much more. The evil of a few cannot destroy the staggeringly beautiful love of so many. We have a Franciscan with us this morning in the congregation. And so maybe it's a God thing that I wrote this next paragraph. Centuries ago, God spoke to a rich young man in the heart of Italy and told him bluntly, rebuild my church. And Francis of Assisi did. He helped transform the church. He helped to rediscover its roots in a time of corruption, deceit, and rampant sin. He carried forth a transcendent message of hope, a message of healing, a message of love. We can do no less. The Sunday scriptures these last few weeks have offered us the bread of life discourse, the long narrative from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John that begins with an astounding miracle, the feeding of the multitudes. From a few scraps of food, Jesus fed the crowds. It was almost like another Genesis. Out of nothing, Jesus made everything enough to satisfy everyone. And that reminds us that we have to remember the first words of God as God speaks in Genesis, "Let there be light." Dear God, we need light now more than ever. Light to scatter our doubts and our fears. Light to point the way. Light to clean and disinfect and remove all shadows, all suspicion, all suffering, and all pain. Light to help remake the world. Dear God, speak again. Let there be light. Let there be lay people and deacons and priests and bishops and yes, even cardinals. But most appropriately, let's begin with lay people who will keep that light burning. Friday, a young priest posted his thoughts about all of this on wherever, Facebook. Like a lot of priests, these last few days have been devastating to this young one. But I want to read to you the words that he posted. "I have never known a church that has been without stain. The good old days never existed for me. And I have never had a comfortable Catholicism. And praise be to God for that, because God does not call any of us to be comfortable or complacent. He calls us to be saints time and time again. When there has been pain and struggle in the church, God has raised up His saints. God will never abandon His church." Well, you see, folks, this is our calling. One we can only answer on our knees in prayer. Pray for our church. Pray for our deacons, priests, our bishops. I ask you to commit yourself to pray daily for Cardinal DiNardo, who, as the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, is in the great big middle, the thick of all of this as we speak. Pray for all who are suffering right now, the victims, the family members, people who are finding their faith shattered. Pray that we may meet this moment with courage and with hope. This moment is indeed a challenge for each of us to be the person God needs, not calls, needs us to be. We're being called to be the next great generation of saints, to pick up each crumbling brick, each crumbling stone that has fallen to the ground, and to rebuild, and to rebuild, and to rebuild, as so many have done before. And how did they do it? With faith, with hope, with love. We can, and I know that we will, Because what we have and what we will be is so much greater than any of this mess in the news. May God have mercy on all of us. May God strengthen us. May God strengthen the lapsed. Forgive those who have fallen into deep sin. And strengthen us to rebuild His church. Amen.